Everybody in the entire universe is in on some big, black cosmic joke.
What we don't realize is we've been bewitched by it.
They're connecting to everyone.
Tell me about mind control!
I don't think that most people would want to know the truth.
I do.
I'm going to preach to you on Hollywood today, against Hollywood, obviously. And I want you to understand the purpose of it. You say, well, I don't even watch TV. I've never watched. You'd be every single, if any person here told me they'd never watched a movie before, I'd call you a liar. But because I know people have, all right? And you and I have been, what we don't realize is we've been bewitched by it. And you say, oh, come on now, preacher. I don't think so. No, I know so. Okay? And I'm going to show you from the Word of God and from the truth of Hollywood's satanic roots. Of just what they're up to. Now, let me ask you a question. If somebody was fooling you, would you want to know it? If somebody had been deceiving you and lying to you for years, would you want to know that you're being lied to? I mean, would you want to continue in darkness? Is it easier? Sometimes ignorance is bliss, we think. And it's easier. Let's just be dark about it, not know anything. But you say, well, I don't even watch television, I don't watch movies, I don't do that. And you know what, I haven't either for a couple of years, really. I mean, I've seen a Fireproof or one of those movies here and there. But I mean, I don't spend any time watching television, or I don't, in fact, we don't have any of the stations that come in, there's movies there. Well, now, I would have brought it today, but I forgot, but I've got a trash bag full of everything that I got rid of in my house. And then I'm going to burn. My family and I, we're going to burn. And we may even burn it out of Brother Bicey's house or something. I don't want any demons in mine, so I'll burn it. No, just kidding. I'm teasing. But we'll probably burn it out of Brother Bicey's or something. But my point is that I don't want anything to do with Hollywood anymore. Once I've studied it, and I've realized it, I don't sit around and watch television or movies or anything like that. I cause too much trouble and I don't have time to do that. I'm into everything else that I've got to do and study and read and pray and radio shows and everything else that God's called us to do here. But the point of this is I would want to know if I was lied to, if I had been duped, if I had been fooled. Now, you may have family members that are very heavily into watching television and movies and everything else like that. Well, when they ask you, you know, why don't you do it? You know, the Bible says that you and I are to be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You and I should be able to intelligently explain why and the roots of it and everything else. I don't pretend that a lot of people are going to like what I'm about to say and what I'm about to reveal. Some of you may get upset with me today for doing it. Now, you understand me well enough to know that I really don't care if it upsets you. Amen. It doesn't matter to me if you get upset. You say, well, shouldn't you care about that? No, I should care about what God called me to preach. That's what I care about, okay? If you get your feelings hurt because of the truth, then Paul said, I made you sorrow after a godly sort. Amen? For godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of this world worketh death. And I want you to understand where I'm coming from here, okay? And once you do, and once you see the Bible on it, if you think the devil stumbled upon ways to trick and fool God's people, you're sorely mistaken. And God's people are fooled today by this thing of Hollywood. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd be with us now, Lord. I pray that, Lord, your spirit be poured upon this, and Lord, that you'd bless. Help us to understand this, Lord. Lord, this world is just plain wicked. And the things that I've heard this week have vexed my soul concerning people caught up in sin and deceivableness and wickedness and all manner of wickedness, Lord, that you just wouldn't think you'd even hear about or even hit so close. But, Lord, I just pray that you'd use this for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, please, in your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, if you have any Hollywood heroes, I will probably break them down today. Those idols will be broken down, and you can throw them in the Minnesota River if you want to, and you can drink of them like Moses made the people drink. I'm just teasing. But because you're going to find out today, surprisingly, that we've been duped, we've been fooled. And we all know that there's wickedness that comes out of Hollywood. We just don't understand the root of the wickedness. It's all the same. Anyway, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing. Do you see that? It is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Ministers of they'll be transformed into ministers of righteousness. Whether you realize this or not, Hollywood is pretty much the church of Satan. Hollywood has evangelists that go out and preach the good news, or the bad news if you're saved, of the devil. They preach Satanism and humanism and wickedness. I don't have time this week, but we won't be done here. I don't have time to go into the message of Hollywood, but we will go into that the evangelists of Hollywood preach. But we'll get to that. But today we're going to discuss the root of it. The Hollywood movie industry has had such an impact on the world that only the Lord knows how deeply Christians have been influenced by it. Hollywood preaches sermons 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It preaches. It never sleeps. The devil never sleeps, and the television never sleeps either. The programming, whether it's internet or wherever, it's not just to TV. I can watch television on my smartphone. I can take my smartphone, I can sit there, and I can watch any movie series, any television series, any event, right there in the palm of my hand, right there. So it's not just the television as that instrument. It's all instruments of media today, whether it's iPads or whatever the case may be. But Hollywood continues to preach through internets, through computers, through smartphones, through iPads. It has access to nearly all the world. But for now, we're going to look at the satanic roots of Hollywood, of the industry itself, of its history. And as always, we'll weigh it according to the King James Bible and look at it. I want to prove to you today and continue to prove in this series that Hollywood has waged war on God. Hollywood hates God. And I hate Hollywood. Amen? I hate Hollywood.
Boy, it got quiet there. That was the first time I ever preached on this before directly. And man, did it get quiet. Y'all let me know if you can hear okay. Let's see here. We are a few minutes into this. Now, I'm not going to show you this whole video because I've got some other things to bring to you today. But I wanted to talk to you about this. I probably should have put Hollywood in the title. Maybe I should just add it. Effeminate entertainment. You know, maybe I should. We'll see. I don't know. Anyway, I hope you can hear me okay. Let me know if you can. Yeah, let me know if it's coming in loud and clear here for you. I can't tell. I don't have any way to do that. All right. Yep, sounds fine. Okay, good. Okay, good. Everybody's hearing good. Well, you know, it's interesting, folks, because I preached this originally, I want to say in 2012. So that's about 7 years ago, I would say. About 7 years ago or so, I preached this. It was the summer heading into the fall, I believe. And, you know, we actually, after this, our church had a revival of sorts. It wasn't of sorts. It was a revival. God's people got right and got rid of their movies and shunned that Hollywood life or that Hollywood in their homes and just the movies, the pop, the outlet of pop culture. Well, 2016 might have been when you first heard it, but I preached it way back in 2012. Yeah, that's you saw the remake of the remake. The original was done way back on Sermon Audio. Let's see. Let's go into the Wayback Machine. And let's see when it was done here. I'm pretty sure it was 2012, but I might not have posted it till 2013. But I posted it rather quickly, I remember, because I thought it would be good to help some people or something like that. And then I started getting a ton of response over it. Let's see. The first one. This says 5/12 of 2013. 5/12. All right. So of 2013. So May of 2013 would have been 6 years ago, I guess. About 6 years ago. And, you know, the church responded very well to it. People repented. I didn't order them to bring in their movies or anything like that. I was the first one. I brought a trash bag full and showed, and that was my repentance. And then after that, the Lord just continued to use that in the lives of people and all over the country. I would get emails from people that were turning it all in and burning it all, and they said they couldn't burn it. Some people thought I was a danger to the environment because I said to burn them, so they thought I was some kind of a danger, and the only environment I'm a danger to is the devil's environment when it comes to that, and that's exactly what happened. That's what happened. And anyway, so it got kind of crazy for a while. And I would get letters from people, and I would get emails from people, and I would get correspondence from people and videos sent to me of them burning all their movies and getting rid of them. And they said that the Lord used Hollywood Satanic Roots to help them do that. And honestly, there still isn't a lot of Baptist pastors that are preaching against that because of the compromise that is there. There's a compromise with Hollywood. There's a compromise with the pop culture out there today. And, you know, we all have to wage that war against pop culture Christianity, which is another sermon that if you haven't heard, let's go back into the Wayback Machine here. We'll see if we can find it here. Here it is. 2014. The Evolution of Pop Culture Christianity. Right? Man, I had the titles for a while. Anyway, that sermon right there really had a lot of people listen to it, and it helped them a lot, actually. So the Evolution of Pop Culture Christianity, the same thing we're talking about here today. We have a problem in churches today, and they're fastly becoming New World Order churches is what they're becoming. They are going to be the place where you know, let me show you here. Let's see. I always have to do this because... There we go. Okay. All right, here we go. I believe these churches, everywhere where God puts his name is where the Antichrist is going to defile or attempt to defile. Okay? And that's what he's going to do. And who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worships, that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And these churches are literally being built up. I believe many of them. Now, that's not all of them. That's not all of them. So I'm not condoning a mass exodus of God's churches and for you to live out and wander around there in darkness by yourself. I don't think that's wise. What I'm telling you, though, is that these patterns, what we're seeing in these patterns of churches today is exactly what I preached about all those years ago, the evolution of pop culture, Christianity, Hollywood, and all those things that have have infiltrated the churches today. There's another one. Let's go to that one. Let's see. The history of sports idolatry. Here it is. I'm going to redo this one for all you kids out there that want me to redo this. Actually, I do want to do a video to this. I had some people, let me tell you about, Pastor Cooley has some enemies. Let me tell you. I have a lot of them out there. And I don't say that lightly, and I'm just saying it truthfully. I have a lot of enemies out there. I used to have people that did videos for me, and when I did not do what they wanted me to do or be what they wanted me to be, they stopped having anything to do with me. So I've been stuck in the fifth rib more times than you can imagine. But out of it all, the Lord has delivered me. By God's grace, I'm still standing, and most of them are all hiding out in the woods somewhere. They're all, I don't know what they're chasing or where they're at, but they don't appear to be doing much for God at all. But you know what? God is faithful to his children. And God corrected me. Hey, I made a lot of mistakes along the way. I made some mistakes. But it wasn't all mistakes, and a lot of it helped a lot of people along the way. And I'm not bragging because the glory goes to God. I'm just explaining to you. I've got a lot of enemies out there. I have a lot of people. I've had my Judas Iscariots. I've had my Ahithophels that have turned on me. I've had all these people. I've had more videos done about me than you could ever imagine in your life. This little church in Northfield, Minnesota, and this little old pastor here in Northfield, Minnesota, right? And more videos done about me exposing Jason Cooley. Well, let me tell you something, friend. Out of 2,000 sermons that are online or whatever it is, a 1,500, whatever it is, I ought to have been exposed by now, friend. I ought to have been exposed by now. I think people generally know who I am exactly. Anyway, so, but I want to redo this video, The History of Sports Idolatry. Right? And I know I do. I know there's a lot of folks that love us out there. I know that. And you, when anytime somebody goes through depression and anxiety and things like that, they have a hard time believing anybody really loves them. You get suspicious about people. You just do. You get that way when you get stuck so many times. You know what I'm talking about, Carl. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But I got to keep loving people. That's what God told me to do. So I'm going to keep loving his people. And if you've done these to the least of my brethren, then you've done it unto me, God said. So that's what we're going to do. But the history of sports idolatry, I definitely want to redo that video and update that and get a video out there of it. So I'm going to redo that one sometime in the future. Luke, I'm going to have him work on that. There's some projects that or maybe I'll do it myself. But, you know, we'll see how the Lord does that in the future. But this is another one, another plague on the churches, okay, that gets the churches all messed up and distracted. Now, I'm not saying that every church that does something wrong is a New World Order church. I'm not foolish. I don't believe that. But I'll tell you what they're doing is they're preaching something that the New World Order likes, and they're preparing the house of Antichrist. All right? They are preparing for Antichrist. And they don't even know it. Some of these people are fooled. I want you to understand that. Some of these people are fooled. It says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and them that perish. So some of those are fooled. The people, they don't understand what they're dealing with. Some of them. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt in that sense. But as we talk about these things, you've got to understand that we are steamrolling ahead to eternity. I mean, my friend Shea Carpenter, heaven bound with the hammer down, he says. And it's true. That's exactly what's happening. But listen, the apostasy is arising. Isn't that something? The falling away is rising. Hey, that might be a new sermon I might preach sometime. Maybe I'll do a broadcast on that. The falling away is rising, and it is, isn't it? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. These churches are falling away. You're seeing it. You're seeing the falling away. They have no basis for what they're doing. Listen to me, friend. They're not basing what they're doing on this book. They're not basing what they're doing on the Word of God. They're basing what they're doing on this world, on what's popular in culture. Literally, that evolution of pop culture Christianity. And that's what's going on today, and that's what we have. What looks cool to the people? Well, I'll tell you what looks cool to the people. Kanye West looks cool to the people. Kanye West's message. By the way, let me say this to you about Kanye West and that whole situation there. Hang on a second. Let me say something to you. Whoa, I don't know what that is. Kanye West situation, okay? Let's see if anybody's been listening to that one. I'm sure they have been, but we'll see how that's doing there. I'm curious. Curious at how mad people are about Kanye. Well, they're listening to it, 1,300, so praise the Lord. That's good. I'm glad somebody's listening to it. The Jezebels one's almost up to 900, the Jezebels, right? Anyway, but so people are listening to the Kanye one. Praise the Lord. That's good. Get the message out there. But listen, I'm going to tell you a guy that did a very good expose of Kanye West and has done it for years. I told you about him before, is G. Craig Lewis. Now, I don't agree with G. Craig Lewis on everything. So before we get into that, before somebody asks me, do you agree with everything he does? No, I don't. Okay, I believe with everything. I agree with everything Christ does. I don't even agree with everything I do sometimes. Okay, but my point is that his expose, he has a question and answer on Kanye Kanye West, and I'm telling you, it is good. He goes and he explains it like a pastor's been preaching for 30 years, okay? And he explains it very well and explains the problem in black culture, and he explains the whole problem with what's been accepted and all those things. No, the falling away is not about Christians who are left behind. That's not true. Sorry, that's not the falling away. The falling away are those that were not saved. They are false converts. They have never been born again by the Spirit of God. I can prove to you in the scriptures, which I don't have time now, but I'll talk about the falling away, and I'll give one message for it, but that's not true. It is not those that are saved that are no longer saved. You cannot be a son and then not be a son. Once you have God's DNA in you, it never goes anywhere. It's His. He is your father, and you are his son. And he says, I will chasten them. And God does chasten his son, and he never disowns his son because God is well able. Trust me, take it from somebody who has been chastened by the Lord very, very hard, that God is able to get the attention of his saints when he wants it. And he is able to correct his children that so desperately need it. And if we can chastise our children and they turn out right for the Lord, God is well able to chasten his own and make sure that they turn out right for his glory. All right? So anyway, but back to this. But Kanye West, anyway, look at it. Once saved, always saved is not true. Look at the prodigal son. Hey, I got one for you there, Sonia. Why don't you let a preacher and somebody of the gospel? I don't know if you're a woman, but the name looks like a woman. So when you're trying to tell me how to preach, I automatically have a Jez alert that goes off. And I know you're all going to get mad at me, but let me tell you something. The prodigal son went home. Praise God, the prodigal son went home, didn't he? He didn't stay out in the pig pen. His eyes looked up and he remembered his father's house and he returned to his father's house and he went back home. Amen. That's what he did. He went back home. Why? Because prodigals are sons and they go back home. Amen. Boy, that's good preaching right there, man. I'll tell you what, right now, that That'll make a Presbyterian shout, won't it? Prodigals are sons. That's exactly what they are. And they go back home. Want to look at it? Let's look at it. Here we go. And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and divided unto them his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine of the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. What did he say to him? What did he say to him? He said, yep, you're right. You're not my son anymore. That's what he said to him, isn't it? Nope, that's not there. That's not there. What did he say? He said, well, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. What'd the father say? But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive. Again he was lost and he was found. And they began to be merry. So, by the way, I think there's two prodigals in this story. There's one that never left home. He had it in his heart. Yeah, it's called eternal life. It's not called once saved, always saved. Nor is it called once prayed, always saved. But it is called eternal life. Really? Because I can show you Bible verses that talk about being preserved. But anyway, all you're trying to do is get me off what I'm doing right now. And what I'm going to do is get rid of you. Goodbye. You are the weakest link. Goodbye. Gone. Gone. See ya. Okay, back to what I was doing before I was rudely interrupted by somebody who will probably be mad at me and say I'm a misogynist or a massage therapist, which I used to be, and all those other things. Amen. Anyway, all right. Well, you know, I've had people differences about that. I just, listen. Let me say this, okay? Let me say this to you. You're not a Jezebel if you have an opinion different than mine and you're a woman. But you are a Jezebel when you come on my face or on my YouTube live video and you try to preach against something that I'm preaching. If you have a problem with me, then you come to me in private and tell me you have a problem with something I'm preaching. But you don't come on here. You don't come on here, right? And try to rebuke me in front of everybody in the doctrine that I hold to, because that's not going to happen. I'm not going to put up with it. I'm just not. And if you don't like it, you can flip it over to some other channel where you can listen to some effeminate man that'll bend his wrist for you, and he'll let you do whatever you want. But that's not here. I'm not that guy. I'm not, and I don't want to be that guy either. All right, anyway, let's get into it here. I want to show you something. Okay, here we go. We're talking about effeminate churches. Okay. What's the chances of me talking about that and then some woman gets on here and wants to argue with me about doctrine? Pretty good, I guess, huh? Here we go.
Make way for Christ our King. Say, hey, it's Christ our King. Hey, clear the streets of Jerusalem. Hey, you, let him through while we sing a hymn. Oh, come be the one to see God.
All right, now. Okay. Anyway, so all right. This guy, as far as I know, Brother Aaron, Lisa's fine. Yeah, she's fine. I don't know how she got erased, but glad she's back on. She's fine. Anyway, okay. Yeah, this guy, I'm not supposed to laugh. I'm not supposed to laugh because everybody gets mad at me for laughing. Well, not you guys, but some people are like, you're terrible because you're laughing. Well, the guy's got his stinking pajamas on. This is church on Sunday morning, and he's Aladdin. This is church. This is church at the movie, or this is called like church at the movies or something. Christ at the movies. That's what they call it. All right, so this is it.
God's brightest light. Make way, here he comes. Toss your coats, wave a palm. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Our majesty, holy is he. Christ the Messiah. Show some respect. Boy, genuflect. Down on both knees. And recognize the true king. Go lift your voices and sing. To him be all the power, praise, and glory. Christ our King, the Nazarene, blessed Messiah. Stronger than hell, Satan won't prevail. Now that's guaranteed. In the garden they pulled out their swords. He asked, what do you need all them for? I'll go.
Stop, stop, stop. Oh, just the mental. Just the mental image of this guy. This is gonna be enough. Oh, oh, oh. This is okay. This is I'm going to show you what this is in a minute. Okay, I'm sorry. I know you don't want to just hear me laugh. I'm sorry, but it's just it's. Jim, it's the accent. Jim, the accent is too much. Oh, man. Oh. And your guys' reaction is just making it worse. Oh. Your reaction just makes it all the worse because it makes me laugh even harder. Oh, I am almost crying. I'm laughing so hard because it's just so stupid. It's just like. But this is church now. This is what they
gladly die for their liberty willingly. Now he's got 72 bold disciples and 6 legions of angels waiting. When it comes to love unconditional, his verse is new with the morning dew. It's a supernatural mystery. Christ our King.
Oh. Now you have to understand, like, you can't do this with like a guy like me, okay? Because wait, I think this is the new one. Okay, this is their advertisement, okay? I'm pretty sure. Yeah, here it is. This is them explaining what they're doing.
What's up, everybody? It's Pastor Frankie and
Yo, Pastor Frankie! What's up? You look like Jim's brother, man! What's up, Pastor Frankie?
Robbie from Word Up Ministries, and we want to encourage you to join us this Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. for our sermon series, At the Movies, which is guaranteed to be a worship experience you won't soon forget and that will bring change to you and your family's lives.
That's right. Now, you may be asking yourself, what in the world do movies have to do with church? That's a great question.
That is a great question. That is the question of the hour. What in the world do movies have to do with church?
Question. When we read the Bible, we see time and time again where Jesus is using these stories called parables to teach people lessons in life. Now, a lot.
Now, you are not taking Aladdin. You're not taking the genie. You're not taking Aladdin. And please tell me you are not equating that to parables that Jesus told in the Bible. Yes, you are actually doing that.
A lot of times, Jesus didn't necessarily approve those stories or find himself doing them, but he would use them to teach people about God, about the kingdom of God, about people, and really, we're going to do the same. If you've ever seen a movie and you find yourself saying, man, that'll preach.
What? I want you to hear that again. I want you to hear that again. And even he's looking at him like, dude, that was dumb. Like, you shouldn't have went there. Like, that was really bad. Watch.
Necessarily approve those stories or find himself doing them, but he would use them to teach people about God, about the kingdom of God, about people, and really, we're going to do the same. If you've ever seen a movie and you find yourself saying, man, that'll preach.
Who goes to a movie and looks at that movie and goes, man, Aladdin, that'll preach. Me dressing up like that guy, that'll preach. Me putting on my best MC Hammer pants, that'll preach. Genies, yeah, that'll preach. That's like watching Rambo and being like, Rambo, that'll preach.
Then you're sure to love this series coming up.
That's right. So come and see how we see the gospel in motion, or God revealed through films like Aladdin, Captain America. We even have a message from the movie Bird Box. And each and every week, there'll be all sort of other surprises like popcorn and candy, a photo booth. There'll be a lot of things in store that you...
I mean, a photo booth, popcorn, and candy? Dude, he literally said that you can find the gospel in Aladdin.
You won't want to miss, and that we really believe will change you and your family's lives. So join us this Sunday, 9 or 11 a.m. You won't want to miss it. Grace and peace.
Yo, grace and peace. Grace and peace, bro. No, seriously. Do you notice in the background, their church is called Word Up Ministry? Word Up Ministries. Yo, it's Word Up Ministries. Word up. Oh, come on. How could Kobe? Kobe, how could Captain America not be all about Jesus? Right? If you're going to preach on Hollywood, it should probably be similar to this.
Because they hate God. And they're satanic. And I've been duped and I've been fooled by it. And I don't like to be lied to. I don't like to be deceived. Whether somewhat of it was willful ignorance or not, I don't like to be deceived and fooled. If I would have remembered today, I would have brought you. After I started to study this out, I filled up every single thing that I could find of Hollywood in my home. There's a few others that I seen there that I gotta chuck over there that was there. But I've got some documentaries, some Bible things, some other things. But some of those are produced by Hollywood that I'm gonna chuck in there too and throw those away. But I got a big old, one of those big yard bags full. And I gathered it all up and I sat it there and I looked at my wife and I said, I'm gonna burn this. I looked at my son, I'm gonna burn this. He goes, yeah. But, he just likes to burn things. I'm gonna burn all of them. I'm not having anything to do with that garbage anymore. Anything to do with that satanic, that root of Satan any longer. And I'm not telling you what to do in your home. You know I don't do that. You do whatever God leads you. But today, you and I will be without excuse as to the root of Hollywood. And let me ask you a question. If the root be bad, how about the fruit? If the root of it is bad, isn't the fruit of it bad? Matthew 7:17, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. It's either evil or it's good. Now, we don't have time to get into this, but Hollywood has preached to us that, oh, there's a gray area. A lot of fundamental Baptists preach that too. But there's a gray area. No, there is no gray area. It's either right or it's wrong. It's either light or darkness. It's not twilight. It's either light or darkness. And the thing you'll have to ask yourself is there any movie, any television program, any actor, anything that's so important to me that it's more important to God that I wouldn't destroy that? Because if there is, then you should throw it away now. Because it means that you've reared up an idol. And it's more important to you than God. First, we look at the actual word Hollywood. I want you to look at that. And I'm going to give you some information about that. One could say Hollywood or a holly tree. You know, bushes, holly bushes, things like that. Even this has strong satanic implications. See, how could a tree be satanic? Tree and leave gifts upon it. December. Father, the Oak King engaged in ritual combat for the... Satanists love using images. They love using names and pictures and numbers. They love it. It's part of what they do. And they laugh at God's people. They laugh at them because they engage in it. Pliny the Elder, AD 23, a Roman naturalist in his classic Historia Naturalis, an old world encyclopedia study of plants and animal life, tells us that if the holly is planted near a house or a farm, it would be repelled, poisoned, and defeated. Now, why would it have that? The corn. The Smith god, Govanon, considers this wood to be sacred. 10 minutes. Your mind shuts down and you're susceptible to subliminal messages. You start to pick up subliminal messages. Oh, they don't use subliminal message, really? Because I got 35 pictures I can show you right now of Disney characters that they put all that I wasn't going to preach about content. Now I got to back up again. This is going to take 5. Switching powers, and advertisers will fully admit to you that they put subliminal messages in things. I'll even set my face against that soul and will divination powers, and her masters were making much money off of her being...
There we go. Anyway, so if you're going to preach against Hollywood, or preach about Hollywood, it ought to be against it. You shouldn't be preaching for people, like, trying to see the gospel in something that is altogether wicked and vile. And that's what Hollywood is. Okay? That's what they do. And these guys, these pastors at Word Up Lakeland Pastor Frankie says the most powerful thing you could do is to set someone free at your own expense. He said, "Your first, J.D. Hall says, your first impulse is correct. You should make fun of this. We all should make fun of this. It has no place in the church. And only people who admire it are lost people who need to be entertained in the house of God and lost people who do not care if they're being patronized." Which brings us to another thing, and here's really the truth of it, okay? Here's the truth of it. And the biggest deal about all of this, in this sense, is that our churches out there today, many of the churches out there, they are turning completely effeminate because they are being ran largely by women and children. Churches today are, let's see, let's look at this verse here because this is true. "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." So here's the point. Here's what's going on today in these churches. This is exactly what's happening. Children's ministries are running the churches. That's what's going on today. Children's ministries are running the churches. What the children want, they are getting through churches. Churches are gearing all of their resources towards children's entertainment, towards making children want to be in that church. That's what's happening today, and women are ruling them because it's the children and the women that are pushing these things. Children and women. And because the churches are effeminate and we do not have strong men that are leading the charge of these churches, the churches are giving over to this effeminate Hollywood pop culture entertainment mentality. That's what's going on. I'm telling you, that's what it's easy to see. The churches largely are being led around by children and women. If you stand up for doctrine, these young church kids, they're not being fed any doctrine because they're giving the people what they want. They're giving them bread and circuses. That's what they're giving them. They are largely entertaining them with Pastor Frankie. Yo, Frankie! Frankie is entertaining them, right? Frankie wants to get up. I mean, first of all, who would get up on Sunday morning, put that stinking clown outfit on, and stand up before the people of God? Think about that. Right? But that's what's happening today. Because they want children to be happy. No, children need discipline. They need direction. They need affection. They need love. But they need to be told what to do. You better believe they do. Like this little snot out there that was looking at President Trump the way he should. Now, I'm no President Trump fan, but this little George Soros snot that was looking at him the way she was, little disrespectful girl that's talking to a bunch of adults like that and coming out, what's her name, that stinking weird-looking girl? Let's see here. Let me see if I can put that over here somehow. Oh, I will. I'll do it this way. Here it is. This girl. Sorry, this is something Jacob sent me, but it's funny. Here's this girl, and I mean, she was looking at him like it was the devil, right? Like he was a devil, which he probably is, but so is she. Anyway, but this climate change girl and these children run around telling adults what they're going to do. Yeah, Greta. These children are running around telling adults what they're going to do. Since when do we listen to a bunch of snot-nosed little punks that are going to tell us exactly what we're going to do with this world? Tell me this. When do you listen to a bunch of little snot-nosed runts that go around there and tell adults what to do? Right? She's an actress. So, but just think about this for a minute, right? I did VBS stuff too, but this goes way beyond VBS. This is Sunday morning. This is church Sunday morning. I don't get into all the skit things that people do at churches. I don't think it's necessary. But this was church service, right? But you think about this right now, though. Here's these snot-nosed little runts, right, telling us what we're going to do with the world like they know. Why? Because some people indoctrinated their minds and taught them a bunch of nonsense, but we're supposed to listen to them. And here it is, a child and a woman, and they're going to rule over everybody. It's a bunch of garbage is what it is. What do you know, you little runt? Here's another one in the churches. Beth Moore, single-handedly bringing the Southern Baptist Convention to its knees by a bunch of weak men, a bunch of weak effeminate. And I'm going to tell you what, when I say things like this, I get a lot of people that hate me for it, and I get it. Right? I get it, okay? I understand. And women that have been abused and women that have been mistreated and all that other stuff, they get to supersede the Bible and they get to do whatever they want because somebody abused them. Well, guess what? No, you don't. You don't get to disobey God's word because some man treated you wrongly. I'm sorry that he treated you wrongly. We've all done things that we hate. We all have a story somewhere where we had to get right with God and repent and believe the gospel and get born again by the Spirit of God. Right? We all did things we shouldn't have done. I was a lost man and a womanizer and everything and a drunk and pothead and everything else. Absolutely. But you know what? I got saved by the grace of God, and he changed my life, and he made me a new creature, and I'm not that anymore. And you know what? If you're saved by the grace of God, then you're not a victim anymore. You've been born again by the Spirit of God. Don't live in victimhood. Live in victory. God gives victory to his children. Right? Now look at this. Here we have a woman here. And I'm going to tell you what, like I said, I get falsely accused by, oh, you're a misogynist. Well, they can call me a misogynist if they want to. I believe in the order of the sexes and that God hasn't changed that. And if you try to change that, then you're an enemy of God. That's what I believe. That's what I believe, that you're an enemy of God when you do that. This woman, Beth Moore, she is changing the Southern Baptist Convention. And weak, need social justice warriors are helping her do that. That's exactly what they're doing. What they're trying to tell you is that for 2,000 years, the Bible, the New Testament, and well, actually before that, since the beginning of creation, that God laid it down, that men were to be leaders. Somehow that's changed, and women should be doing that now because somebody molested somebody, somebody treated somebody poorly, somebody Me Too movement, somebody did something like that. So therefore, all men are disqualified from leading now, and it must be a woman that leads. Well, that's simply not true. But your churches are taken over by these entertainment. This woman is there simply because of her pretty face and her entertainment. That's why she's there. That's why she's there. She is there for that reason. And what's really sad is that people don't notice it. Or people, they notice it, but they're not doing anything about it. They're giving in to the times of the social justice warriors, which we'll talk about another day maybe. But they're giving in to the times. But it's all relevant. It all has something to do with it. It's all part of the same agenda. Beth Moore, the Southern Baptist lady preacher and evangelical darling of the Lifeway stores, has been on a downward spiral since, well, J.D. Hall says, ever since she began preaching. But nothing speaks downgrade more than Moore's trajectory over the last several months. Beth Moore has exposed herself as a full-on egalitarian, that is, one who rejects the biblical mode or model for the roles of men and women, and has launched a tirade against biblical womanhood. She has practically embraced homosexuality and has joined hands with gay activists a number of times for various causes, usually for opposing the biblical view on something. She has refused to denounce homosexuality as sinful and says that so doing so is exceeding scripture. So what did she do? Well, she actually changed her online book and took out the stuff about homosexuality. Right? And the reason why she did that is because she didn't want to, she changed her position. She doesn't no longer wants to be identified. And who is she anyway? Why is she speaking out in churches? Right? She has joined the chorus on liberal left in denouncing white people and always assuming the worst about straight white males. She promotes unity with well-known false teachers like Joyce Meyer and has even declared that spending time in God's word is not the same thing as spending time with God. She's a mocker and has referred to those who go to bed early on Saturday nights for church as trolls. And she has made a habit of using acronyms for cuss words to rebuke her fellow leaders. She has no respect for the authority of God's word. And let's not forget, Southern Baptist leader Russell Moore says, an SBC that doesn't have a place for Beth Moore doesn't have a place for a lot of us. Well, if that ain't the most effeminate, limp-wristed thing I've ever heard some guy that claims to be a preacher say. But the SBC does have a place for her. It's being in subjection to her husband. It's being home. It's taking care of the home. It's teaching ladies, it's being an example to ladies. It's teaching them to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. That's the place that the woman has. But it's not an equal place, or it's not the same place as to a man. But when you change your church to a Hollywood, effeminate, entertainment house of Antichrist, that's exactly where you have to go. It's exactly the place you have to go. And it's women and children that are leading this, and the lack of manhood to stand up and be a man. That's what's going on. And she's going to totally disrespect the word of God. Why? She has to. Here's what she says. My basic take on life thus far, if tons of folks say one thing and Jesus says another, I'd be pretty well to go with Jesus on it. No, I was not subtweeting the apostle, but I'd like to say something here. I believe wholeheartedly all scripture is inspired by God, authoritative truth, but the persons themselves, Paul and Jesus, are not equals. I know this is hard for some to swallow, but Paul is not our Savior. Wow. So what she just did is what a witch does. Listen to me. That's what a witch does. What does the scripture say? In the life we follow Christ, of course, always follow Christ. But Paul was an example unto the flock as Peter was, right? And we follow the life of Christ. That's who we follow. That's true. But the writings of Paul, they are spiritual. They are the same spirit. All the Bible is authoritative. To say that Paul's words are less authoritative is to question his apostleship and to question his testimony about Christ. Paul did not give instructions based on his own feelings or orders or commands from God. When he did that, he differentiated his opinion on things. But he was given permission to give that. He said, I speak this by permission. And not of commandment. See this? But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I am myself, but every man at this proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. So he's talking about staying unmarried. He said, listen, it's not a command. I speak this by permission. For I would that all men were even as I am, Paul said, because I don't have a wife and I can serve God without distraction. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And I got one for you, Beth Moore. When did Jesus ever ordain a woman? When did Jesus ever lay hands on a woman and call her into the ministry? When did Jesus ever do any of those things? He did not. When he chose his 12, did he choose any women? No. He did not. He did not choose women. And this is why Jesus didn't choose women. Because you'd have silly women laden with sins like this woman that would be trying to preach doctrine based on her feelings. Trying to preach to people based on her feelings and what she feels and not what the truth of the Word of God is. Paul never ordained a woman. Jesus never ordained a woman. There were no priests ordained. That were no female priest in the Bible. Either of these tweets taken by themselves may not seem egregiously off base, but the two together, when you see that the second was a follow-up to the first, it should give you pause. One may say, well, she said all scripture is authoritative, but the problem here is that she doesn't hold them equally authoritative. In other words, and this is really important to grasp, that she's trying to do is imply that Paul's words, as clear as they may be, should be interpreted only through the lens of Jesus' words, even if they aren't as clear in the context. Do you see what she's doing? She's a witch. I'm telling you. Beth Moore is a witch. I believe that woman is a witch. I absolutely believe that's what she is. I'm telling you, she is a witch. She just is, plain and simple. Calling the four corners, like Aaron said, in the church, all those other things. I mean, it's just, she's a witch. She just is a plain witch. This way, when Jesus says we should honor women and that Jesus was obedient to women, his mother, Mary, then Paul's words that women should submit to their husbands and remain silent in church should only be interpreted through through Jesus' ambiguous words on the subject. Here, Beth Moore can say that Paul's words are authoritative in truth, yet she would still not say they are equally authoritative. Mark my words, Beth Moore is on the road to all-out apostasy if she continues. Well, I'm different than J.D. Hall. I really think she's a witch. I just think she is one. I think she's definitely one. I think we can see it very plainly. Right? So, why is this entertainment and everything accepted in the churches today? Because women, children are their oppressors and women rule over them.
Being able to tell the future, her being able to entertain those men through that. God says that those psychics, those that consult spirits, we are to have nothing to do with. We're to stay away from them. We're to ignore them. Do you suppose God wants us to be entertained by them? Well, let me ask you this. Do you believe that you've been entertained by devils? Think about it. Have you and I been entertained by devils? I'm telling you, most preachers will not preach on this. I'm not exalting myself.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Hollywood is entertainment from devils? I do. I do, and I think we ought to be very careful with it all. I think we ought to be very careful with it all. But it's accepted in the churches today, largely because these women are accepted today as leaders, and the children, all the ministries. And here's another one. Let's go back to Kanye here. Right? Kanye here, he recently purchases a ranch south of Cody, Wyoming. He held an outdoor service at the Robbie Powwow Garden on the grounds of Buffalo Bills Center of the West on Sunday. The marketing manager who rented West the space for his Sunday service event in Cody said nearly 4,000 showed up. This service, which lasted about an hour, was free and open to the public. Little notice was given. It was very spur of the moment thing for literally everyone. So he just pops up everywhere. And why are these accepted as church? Why is everybody accepting these as church, right? So he's got 80 people in this choir, right? And they just follow him around.
We're lifting him high in heaven on earth. We're going to be saved. There's a God we serve. There's a God we serve.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is this going to get people? Is this going to get people in the church house? Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is going to get them in the church house. It's going to work. What are you converting them to? Not to Christianity. Does that look like Christianity or the jungle? It looks like a jungle. That's what it looks like to me. Don't worry, I'm not playing a lot of it.
from? Is that all right?
What does any of that mean? Ayo, 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 ayo. What does any of that mean? Nothing. Doesn't mean anything. That's the problem. It's vain. I wish I could find the video. There was a man that described himself being there. And I don't know where the video is, but he described himself being there and why he came there, and it really had nothing to do with the Lord at all. It didn't have anything to do with the Lord at all. What we find here today is that we have churches that right, that have given wholly over to pop culture, and they like Word Up Ministries, Word Up. They have to make the kids happy. They're losing the kids, but what they don't realize, the reason they're losing the kids is because they don't teach them. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from them. But that's not happening today. What's happening is they're entertaining the goats. Yes, he does. And G. Craig Lewis talked about that, actually, Aaron, that Kanye West is a genius, and he does have a gift. Why do you think he hangs out with Donald Trump? That's why he hangs out with Donald Trump. Because Trump's an absolute genius, too. Trump's a definite genius. In fact, I'm not so sure that Trump didn't trump up this recent thing. That he didn't trump it up himself to put himself in the news. Because he's that smart. Literally, he is that smart. He just is. He knows what he's doing. You know, he's very intelligent when it comes to scamming and getting his name out there. All right. So if you have a church that is not based on doctrine, right? Look, there. Let's go to something here quickly. Let me shut that off here. I want to show you something. Now, all the instructions are given here in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Timothy for the church, for the office of the deacon, for how the elder women should act, how the office of a deacon, all those other things. Okay? The bishop, all those things. How the bishop should be in the house of God, everything. How he should govern his home and all those kinds of things. And he goes on to say the reason. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. God says there's an order and a behavior in the house of God. Why were all these things important? Well, explaining the bishop, that's important, right? Explaining what he should do. Chapter 2 exhorts, therefore, in praying, women, It talks about women. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Why are all these things there? Because if the behavior is right in the house of God, if the doctrine is right, the behavior is right, you're not going to have the other things that come up. You're not going to be able to be swayed as easy by the world's nonsense. Because men are supposed to be sober-minded. But now you have sports, you have movies, you have all these themes that have moved into the church. And you have children's ministries. Well, let's look at it here. I remember when I first started Old Paths Baptist Church. When we started all 12 years ago, I remember people. I remember people would ask me, "What do you have for a youth ministry, Pastor?" And I would be like, "Well, I don't really have anything. I mean, we just have us and." We're too small. Right? We're too small. And we just don't have anything like that. Right? So people would get really discouraged, or I would get really discouraged, but there'd be like, there'd be like some discouragement, right? And why is that? Well, because I would want people to bring their families to church. If they didn't bring their families to church, or if they didn't come, then, you know, if we don't have something for the kids, they're not going to make it. They're not, you know, the people aren't going to stay. Right? And I'm just going to see if I can find one here. Hang on. So, people try to be relevant, right? They try to be relevant for the youth ministry. And they pour all this stuff in having a youth pastor. Well, what does the youth pastor do? He runs around entertaining the children. Right? That's what he runs around doing. But what does it do for them? What does it really do for them? Nothing. It doesn't do anything. Because you don't train children to be children. You train them to be adults. That's what you do. You don't train them to be children. You train them what you want them to be. And that's adults. Right? But most of the time what comes up is that we've got to make it fun for them. Well, I don't know. Maybe this one will be better than some of the other ones. Let's just look at this one. This is West Coast. Let's see.
Sister Bruner and I are what you would call a companionship, meaning that we go out, we're together 24/7.
Let's see. Maybe this one will be better.
The heavens declare the glory of God.
That's good.
And the firmament showeth his handiwork. Maybe you're wondering tonight, is there really a God? Well, the truth of the matter is, tonight, young people, you can know. You can know God personally.
You know, the purpose of your life is to bring honor and glory to God. That's why God made you. That's why God made you, and because there's something that you can give to God that nobody in the history of the world has ever given to God, and that's praise from your heart
David was not the most likely choice.
Okay, so.
But he was God's choice. Don't sell yourself short this morning. We're looking today for some young people that would say, look it, I want from the heart to serve God. In my heart, I love God. I've received Jesus Christ into my heart, and he is the king of my heart. All of these decisions are a matter of the heart.
If you want to live a clean life, you want to have a...
Do you see, though, do you see even in like one of the best, I would say, youth ministry videos, okay? One of the best so far. Do you see how the world has to be in there to attract these kids?
A pure life. And you want to have a pure mind and pure hearts, and you want to know God. Listen to me, young people.
I don't see... Do any of you see the Apostle Paul doing this?
The Word of God out of your hand and get it into your heart.
That you've been created and you're a designer model. There's nobody in this world like you. You're the only one. And God has given you special gifts and abilities. And God's given you special experiences. And you have the ability to honor.
Do you see what I mean?
Honor and glorify God in a way that nobody else can. Now, are you?
God is looking for the teenagers in this conference today who have a heart for him. See, so often the heart of a problem is a problem of the heart.
Do you know God personally? I'm talking about you, not the person next to you, not your youth pastor, not your pastor. Do you know him personally?
So, okay, not terrible, but what does all that have to do with the Bible?
No liquids, all electronics, laptops need to go inside the vents. Is this the new S6?
Yeah, it is actually.
Do you love it? It's really great.
You should definitely check.
Can I see it?
Yeah, check it out.
Do you mind if I see it?
Check out the new screen.
What the? You just broke my phone!
Yeah, I did. There's a complaint box right over there.
I don't know what this is. It's like a skit, I guess. But
how do you expect people? What in the world do you have on? No sleep?
Anyway, so there's their skit thing. But again,
Sister Bruner and I,
what does it end up being? It ends up being worldly. It has something to do with some reference to the world. So is it gathering around God and his word that's important? And some of the, like, the message that he gave was good. I mean, the things that he's saying, but why add the other things in? Why do the other worldly things come into that? Right?
We're going to go ahead and get started. But before we do, Brother Mike Blake, come on up here. And we love Brother Mike Blake here at Taze Valley Baptist Church. He is going to be a church planter in southern West Virginia, and I just want him to come and present his ministry.
Let's see if I can find some of these. I can't find the ones that I'm looking for right now, but basically, if you go into a youth conference, here's what you find. You find a gathering together of all these children, and they entertain them, and then they preach to them. But where do we see that in the Bible? Where do we see the design of that to do that? We don't. But our churches have changed, and they've become this... They've become this... This place to where... You have to be entertained by music, by games, the children do. And then if you and then when you start getting women into the leadership roles of these churches, then that's when the social justice gospel and the other things come in. Why? Because that's how women think when they're in leadership. They think like that. That's how they think. They think differently than what men do about things. Like Beth Moore. Now, I believe she's a witch, but the point is that women will always will lean towards being softer. They'll lean towards being softer on issues than men. Because their feelings, how many women, mothers, have compromised because their son or their daughter is a sodomite? How many Christian women have compromised because their sons or their daughters are sodomites? I know of a few right now, that I, one in particular that I can think of, that did that. I can think of one in particular. And they know the truth. They know what the Bible says. But it doesn't matter. Because they're not following it. They're not following the scriptures. Not at all. Because their emotions are tied to it. And that's what's happening. Let me give you another one here. Let me see if I can. Here's another one. Children's drag queen event at Costa Mesa Church. Again, you now have entertainment-driven, acceptable churches that are accepting apostasy, or have already apostatized, the falling away, and because they're not ordered correctly, this is what you have. Members, allies, and critics of Fairview Community Church in Costa Mesa and the LGBTQ community surrounded the church's driveway Saturday, either to protest or to protect what was happening inside. A children's story time with a drag queen. Fairview began hosting Autumn Rose for monthly readings in July. The first event was sleepy, said Pastor Sarah Halverson. Pastor Sarah Halverson, right? She says that it was sleepy. The next one in August drew opponents. The church got wind of the plans of a protest through social media and brought in security, which they enhanced with more volunteer watchers and winding wall of tarps. So they put up a tarp to block out the people that would protest against them. Security and legal observers outnumbered the roughly half dozen protesters who came and went over about 2 hours. One person volunteered to DJ a dance party on the lawn. Think about that. This is a church. It's supposed to be a church. The Church of the Antichrist. It's a New World Order church. Behind the fluttering tarp wall, which drowned out protesters, exhortations with Beyonce and Elton John. Neon-clad security guards and legal observers kept watch on the small demonstration. Several children who wore masquerade masks to protect their identities in protesters' photos and videos. Halverson Cano said, one child, about eight, parted two sheets like curtains and held out a sheet of notebook paper scrawled with equality. An eight-year-old. Right? An eight-year-old. Looks like my feed over here froze. The chat did for some reason. I don't know what the deal is, but it froze on me, so I'm going to keep going. I don't think I've lost you guys yet. Let me see what I did with my phone, maybe. But I don't think I've lost anybody yet. But the chat is down for some reason. It's froze up. Beverly Welch said she protested the event because she believes it is not only the indoctrination but sexualization of young children. She's right. That is what it's about. That's exactly what it's about. With society, especially in California, pushing gender dysmorphia as normal and introducing children who are already confused beyond belief to a man dressed as a woman and treating it as normal is unacceptable, she said. Drag was created as adult entertainment, period. Children are children for a very short time. We need to allow them to stay children. Another protester with a wearable voice amplifier and a Bible full of bookmarks quoted scriptures and denounced homosexuality. He must have been the street preacher. There's always one of those running around, right? There's a street preacher. It's where he was, right? He was out there preaching the word of God to him. The driveway is an open gate to a sepulcher, he called out. The demonstration and any altercations appeared to stay verbal. Police came during the last few minutes to help keep the driveway clear for departing traffic, although most attendees had already left. Fairview Community Church is a member of the Progressive United Church of Christ. The small campus on Fairview Road flies a rainbow LGBTQ pride flag and a Black Lives Matters banner and was at the forefront of performing same-sex marriages when they were first legal. Abel Sanchez is not a church member. Listen to this. So this place is recruiting. They're recruiting non-church members into this. They're building their church with this. But what are they building it on? Satan. Abel Sanchez is not a church member, but came to provide security because his nephew, who is involved with the LGBT Center Orange County, asked him to help. Sanchez stepped in, and when he felt protesters were heckling two teenagers carrying pride flags, "I'm doing this to support my nephew," he said. Oh, you studly man, you. Support him in what? Is wicked sin? Nicole and Martin Frost brought their 4-year-old son and 3-month-old daughter to see Autumn Rose, the reigning Miss OC Pride, read picture books from the pulpit area in a sequined gown, blonde wavy wig, and towering tiara. The Frosts, who are not religious, said they told their older child that some people didn't like what was happening inside the church. They did not tell him exactly why. The boy does understand that a drag queen is a man in a dress, but sees the story hour as a dress-up party time. With an entertainment like a clown, his mother said. He offered Autumn Rose presents, a gift card to Sephora to buy more makeup, and a purse with a hand-painted portrait of the queen in character. You see that? Frost said she had taken the kids to a drag queen story time in Los Angeles without issue, but at last month's Fairview event, the opponents took photos of kids surrounding cars pulling out of the parking lot and shouted about child molesters, she said. This is terrorism, she said. The desire to create fear to get your way. No, it's not terrorism. That isn't terrorism because you disagree with somebody and you preach against them. That's not terrorism. That's not threatening their lives. It's telling them they're in sin and they're going to die and go to hell. Martin Frost joined his family when he heard there were protesters. He said he wanted to show solidarity with the church. I'm not worried. I'm not afraid, he said. I don't think there's a lot of value in being scared. About 60 people of all ages showed up Saturday, but not as many kids this time. Halverson Cano said, some parents seemed intimidated, others invigorated, she said. For a moment, she thought about canceling the event. There was a minute last time they were so cruel, she said, but that only lasted a moment. The church will have another reading in October and a tea party in November. See that? Hang on 1 second. I'm going to play this.
Because I just loaded up a garbage bag full of stuff and set it out, but I'm going to burn it. And why? I'm preaching this to you because most people won't preach on this. Why? Well, because members don't like this. It steps on their toes. It steps on their entertainment idols. My little children, keep yourselves from idols. That was written to the saved, not the lost. Why? Because God knew that you and I would rear up idols in our lives. And God warned us about that, to put away those idols. So why am I talking about psychics and everything else? Because the root of Hollywood, the root of it, are actors that consult familiar spirits. That's the root of it. That's what they do. You say, no, it can't be. No, folks, it's not an isolated incident, but it's a common trend in the Hollywood industry. The truth will either make you mad or will lead you to get right with God Almighty. One of it will happen. One of the most popular, I'm going to go through a series of Hollywood actors. Some of you won't know them, okay? Some of you older, my age and older, you'll probably have heard of them, okay? Some of you won't, but it was the foundational period of Hollywood, and that's why I'm talking about it. If the root is bad, then the fruit is bad. Do you understand that? If it's the root, then it's the fruit. And I want you to understand what these men said. Do you understand that you and I go into the closet with our faith, and these movie stars openly tell you they're Satanists? They openly tell you that they consult wizards and they consult devils. They brag about it. In fact, they glory in it. You know why? Because they know that most people, and a lot of Christians, or many that say they're Christians, will still keep buying their movies and still keep funding the Hollywood machine. Because unless somebody confronts you with it, unless you and I are called to repentance about it, unless the Word of God is preached, then Acts 19 will never happen. Where you take your curious books and all of those things, and you burn them, and you count the pieces of silver that are 250,000 pieces of silver that they burn. Why? Because somebody preached. Somebody told God's people the truth. And they said, well, I can't have that in my house. It's wrong. One of the most popular Hollywood actors that fundamentally changed America was James Dean. He fundamentally changed America. His movies that came out changed the whole dynamic of what a family was supposed to be, of what a son was supposed to be to a father, the rebellion that was led to that. It was open, it was blatant. Hollywood has never produced anything that was wholesome and biblical. Listen, when somebody gives you some morality, you cannot trade in morality for holiness and righteousness. Do you understand that? Who cares if Hollywood preached some perverted morality? Perverted morality or morality only goes so far and it runs out of steam. Holiness is of God and it lasts for eternity. Morality is Satan's cheap trick to fool you. Another message will cover what he actually preached in his movies, but listen, actor Martin Sheen, some of you know who he is, pays tribute to Dean for his role as a change agent. James Dean and Elvis were the spokesman for an entire generation. When I was in acting school in New York years ago, there was a saying that if Marlon Brando changed the way people acted, then James Dean changed the way people lived. He was the greatest actor who ever lived. He was simply a genius. End quote. Where did his geniusness come from? I wonder. Another man said they wore what he wore. Recalled Stuart Stern, scriptwriter for Rebel Without a Cause. Rebel Without a Cause. How many of you have heard of that movie? Probably seen it, right? Yeah. Yeah. Listen, if you've seen something wicked, I've seen something wickeder. So I'm not here to poke a finger at anybody. Amen. I'm just telling you. You've seen it. Rebel without a cause. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. They walk as he...
So then we wonder why all of these things have taken place in churches today. And what they've entertained themselves with, what we've set our eyes upon, we can't help but speak about the things that we have both seen and heard, right? So today you have churches that are all about sports. They got to talk about the sports. They got to lay it on thick with that. It's got to be talked about. Then you have movies. Then you have children's ministries that are designed to entertain. Now, Baptist ones are a lot better somewhat than a lot of the other Protestant ones that are out there. But basically, the churches have become games. They have become places to be games. They have become a place of gaming, right? And the problem is that unfortunately, it's not going to change anytime soon. Men had to be entertained, and that's exactly what they're doing. What do we do about it? Well, we get rid of the entertainment out of our own house first, right? We get rid of the things that dishonor God first. We remove those things. We remove those things out of our lives. Yeah, one person said, I had pastors take us to the movies when I was in youth group. And I've heard churches talk about this. Why? What will it benefit? How does that benefit you spiritually? What does that do for you spiritually? Not a whole lot. Well, that's just it. I know. And you know what? There's some things that you could do. You know, I take my family and I do things with them. It's not wrong to go do things, but it's not the church's duty to take your children and go do things like that. Hey, we play ball out back with the kids sometimes and stuff like that. That's not bad. The point is, we don't bring them into the meeting house. We don't bring them into the church and have the entire church service be fun and games and prizes and entertain them with the world. And that's what's going on today. I have no idea how much in most... Okay, let's get to the bottom of this. How many of those youth kids... Yeah, they say, okay, you come to camp, you come to these things, and I got one for you because I know this to be true because I've been around enough fundamentalists, okay? Here's the thing about that, okay? You think about this, okay? Think about this. Here's the thing about fundamentalists. They will tell the kids they can't have their iPhones and they can't have these things there. Yet, they don't preach against Hollywood to these kids. They don't preach against pop culture. They don't preach against those things any longer. They don't. If you brought those kids, because most of those pastors are still watching television, watching movies, embracing pop culture, embracing all of those things and not being separated from them. They're embracing the world. They're embracing Hollywood movies. And you expect your children not to set... how are you going to... You can't preach against that stuff. So how are you going to preach gay is wrong and you watch in television they're full of a bunch of homosexuals? How are you going to preach that nudity is bad when you're watching videos or watching movies directly with women that are not dressed properly or naked, either way. How are you going to do that? How are you going to look, instead of embracing pop culture, we should be attacking it. We should be dismantling it with the Word of God, not compromising with it, not accepting it. But that's what's happened. We've accepted it. We've accepted it. So, yeah, you'll tell them leave the iPhone home and you can't do that stuff at camp, but then you're going to have a bunch of skits for them. Then you're going to have, but then you're not going to preach against their entertainment or their movies or their other stuff because you're watching the same ones. That's why. So you can't. And they don't. So how are these kids to be separated when, yeah, they don't have any TV maybe while they're there, but they go home and there's nothing different? You know what changes somebody's life when they get saved? You know what changes somebody's life when a preacher preaches on sin? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ our Lord, Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, I don't want to say it's any weird thing that they're doing, but a father-daughter banquet or whatever, a father-daughter dance. I don't believe in Baptist dancing anyway. But, you know, I don't see where that's really appropriate. I mean, I've heard of people doing father-daughter banquets and that kind of thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I mean, I don't need a banquet to do that. I take my daughters out to breakfast. The little girls, I take them out, my little ones. I go spend time with them and take them out. I drink coffee and they eat something at the coffee shop and we sit and we talk for a while. I mean, that's what I do. You know, I mean, I'm guessing what you're talking about is like slow dancing or something like that. I'm not thinking it's something provocative or something, but you know, but I don't know. That's just I don't see the point in a purity banquet or something. I've heard of those. I don't think that's bad, really. Dancing part I don't agree with, but I don't think like a banquet is bad. In fact, I saw a very good covenant for fathers and daughters. The importance of fathers raising their daughters in a purity covenant that the girl well, I don't think there's anything wrong with the church asking for money. Oh, is that what they're talking about, a church prom? Yeah, I don't know what that is. It's weird. That's just the world. Exactly, that's just the world. But like a father-daughter purity banquet type thing, I wouldn't think that'd be bad, but like I said, I don't believe in dancing anyway. So, But anyway, we need to get back to teaching those things, you know. But yeah, church prom, wow, that's weird. I guess it's not that weird because the Christian school, the church that I was sent out of, they have these teen banquets where these kids are actually taking, they're actually on dates with these, with people in their school. That's wrong. You're teaching them to date. You're teaching them to have an interest in each other. And that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But again, that's the world, right, Mike? They're taking a church prom, right? And they're having a prom, and they're having a that type of a scenario. And they, why? Because the world does it, so they have to do it. And that's what's happening in our churches today. That's the problem. That, and one of the major problems and reasons why, entertainment-driven churches. You wouldn't have to have those kids. You wouldn't have to have those kids You wouldn't have to have those kids do that if they weren't being fed on the world. If they were taught that there's a war that they're in, you know what's sad? Is they're not taught there's a battle, there's a war. They're not taught that. Right? They're not taught that we're in a war against Satan's kingdom. They're not being taught that. And that's what the real problem is. If they knew that there was, they get saved by the grace of God and there's a battle on the line, man, you're in the war for your life. If they were taught that, right? If they were taught that, then it wouldn't be a problem like it is today. It's sad. But they're not being taught about the battle. They're not being taught about war. They're not being taught to fight the good fight of faith. They're not being taught that this Christian life is a battle. It's a war. It's the fight of faith, and you're literally fighting against this world. That Satan is the god of this world, and you are fighting against the god of this world. They're not in a battle. Our churches have become so effeminate. They've become so feminized that nobody's fighting anything anymore. And when a man stands up and he does fight and he does preach hard and he does do those things, he's looked at like, well, you're some kind of kook, man. There's something wrong with you. Why are you so angry? Why you got to be so mad? Right? That's how they look at you. That, why do you have to be so mad? Why, you should be nice and say things like Jesus did. Well, he got crucified for what he said. And that's what they're going to do to you. Now, they may not do it physically, but they want to. Right? Oh, yeah. Children's cartoons and all that. Yeah, that's horrible. We're not going to get into this really today, probably too much. We're gonna be done here pretty soon. But George Soros has his hand in the new evangelical movement, right? He has his hand in it. And he's funding it, right? I get told I'm, you know, anyway, so he's funding it. And we'll talk about that social justice stuff. We'll talk about that stuff another day, all right? Anybody have any questions? Maybe I haven't done that for a while. I can take some questions here as we close it out here for the day. I'll give you time to ask some questions.
He walked. They played the parts. They saw him play. They searched the answers they thought he was searching for. Some found a kinship they had never known before. Suddenly, teenagers underwent transformations of mind-blowing proportions in emulation of his movies. Jeans, t-shirts, leather jackets, hairstyles, fast cars all became the popular trends of the day. The new measuring stick for men's success with the women depended on how close they came to Dean's heartthrob image. His posters and movie memorabilia plastered the walls of teenage girls who still longed for their knight in shining armor. Dean was successful in reshaping the image of what the knight was supposed to represent. Randall Reese, author of The Unabridged James Dean. What I'm trying to do is lay a groundwork so you understand the fundamental change that took place in America due to Hollywood, what it did to this country, how it changed it, and how it was all of the devil. It was all, and I don't mean the devil was in the back, was far up and away from it. No, I mean he was indwelling it. Dean was led by devils. Familiar spirits. Dean's aunt told of how even as a young man he had contact with spirit entities. He said that he would have conversations.
Okay, so Matthew Valente asked me a question. Now look, I'm going to ask you something in a very respectful way. How is being gay a choice? You can argue that acting on it is a choice, which it is, but how does one choose who they like? Well, I'll answer that for you. Very simply. You're a sinner, depraved by nature. And whatever your flesh is attracted to, whatever your flesh is attracted to, you will give in to. If you are not saved, and you will follow that. Now, I happen to believe a lot of that is unnatural affection, which tends to be from outside environmental sources that led to that decision. A father not raising you and loving you like he should have, a strong male in your life, a God-fearing, kind and loving mother in your life that loved you and took care of you. Okay? The right balance at home, the right influences, things like that. I think it leads to that people being without natural affection. So that's what I believe about that. I believe the Bible's very clear about that, that if we don't have the Holy Ghost of God, we will give over to any sin in our lives. Somebody asked me a question. Wondering about how you feel about Billy Eilish. I've never heard of that person, so I couldn't tell you. What's your opinion on Marian apparitions, and could you do an exposure of some point of Marian apparitions? Our Lady of Matagorda. Yeah, those are all, I think those are all demonic visions, and I think some of those are signs and wonders of the end times. And I think sometimes those people see those things, or those statues actually bleed and things like that. Because of demons. So, yes. I do believe that. But I haven't looked into that recently. Or I've never looked into that at all. So, but yeah, that's what that is.
...stations with the tree, and when questioned if the tree talked back, he wasn't talking to the tree or the roots, he said, laughing. I said, well, who are you talking to? He just looked at me with a clean face and said, my mother. James Deward, a personal friend of Dean, said he said, and I quote, he said,
well, whether they were healed or not, you know, I don't know. Will devils have the power to heal, or do they have it? Yeah, they're able to do miracles. I mean, in the end times, when those frogs come out, there's miracles everywhere, signs and lying wonders. So, yeah, I think they're, you know, if, I think they probably do have power to do that and to deceive and to keep people in hell. So I think that's probably true.
He believed the ghost of his dead mother came to him. Dean actively sought out spirits and spirit guides to help forge his path to success. Beulah Roth, another personal friend, recalls a time when Dean wanted to get in touch with a dead actress named Sarah Bernhardt. Roth says, and I quote, "There was a hotel in Venice, California, where Sarah Bernhardt had stayed when she came here to perform. Jimmy was thrilled. He said, 'Let's go to the hotel.' So we go in, and it's a flea bag hotel, a transient hotel, and no one there had heard of Sarah Bernhardt except for one old guy who said, 'Oh yeah, I remember that French actress.' And we said, 'Do you remember the room?' And he said, 'Yeah, I'll take you up there.' He took us up to this really horrible room. I guess in its day it was elegant, and Jimmy said, 'You go out of the room. I want to be here alone. I want Sarah Bernhardt to come to me.' And he said he lay on the bed where she had slept, and he really felt that he had made contact with Sarah Bernhardt." End quote. They're devils! Do you understand that? He is seeking the familiar spirits! They're devils! This is what Hollywood is! It's full of devils! I say, come on, preacher, why do you gotta bring this stuff up? Because Hollywood's roots is in the rebellion of witchcraft. It's always been there to get you away from God. It's always been there to give you something else to do besides read your Bible and pray, to entertain your flesh, to shut down your mind and have it you with devils so they can take over and they can rule your conscience. That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it's been about. He goes on to say this. He sensed moments in Eartha Kitt was a hero of his. Eartha's performances when it seemed to him that everything she knew was fused directly into a moment, even things having nothing to do with her performing. He thought translated directly into one energy force, a magic connection. He says Jimmy was convinced that Eartha had special powers and knowledge she could deliver to him by some kind of osmosis. Jimmy Dean reportedly says, "I have a fairly adequate knowledge of satanic forces." Isn't that great? Isn't that great for God's people? Do you realize what this is saying? This is saying that you and I, if we've watched that movie, we've been entertained by devils. We've had devils actually entertaining us. And we wonder why our homes are a wreck and a mess when we invite devils into them. We wonder why our children are a mess when we invite devils into our home. Sit them down in front of devils and let them listen to devils teach them. Dean boastfully told Heda Hopper, "I had studied the Golden Bough." Anybody know what that is? Aleister Crowley. Anybody know who Aleister Crowley is? Probably one of the most wicked men that ever lived. Satanists, occultists, New World Order, hired by the federal government for mind control experiments. Aleister Crowley writes in his 960-page autobiography, The Golden Bough, and in the writing this book, "I was much assisted by Fraser's Golden Bough. Crowley placed Fraser's writings in his camp in regard to Christianity, which delved deep into Crowley's form of magic. According to Crowley, Fraser agreed that Christianity was historically false, morally infamous, politically contemptible, and socially pestilent." He was a pestilence, Christianity was. "Regarding Dean's study of DeSade, he was one of the wickedest homosexual serial killers in history. Another of Dean's favorite writers was a man by the name of Oscar Wilde. Oscar Wilde was an occultic homosexual playwright whom Aleister Crowley paid no small token of admiration to throughout his writings. Long-term girlfriend Dizzy Sheridan insightfully relates, the things Jimmy Dean reads were sort of a personification of himself." You see how these men were led by the devils? They consulted spirits. There was something a little mad, somebody said, a little possessed about James Dean. Each of his three major films conjures up a self-absorbed, hobgoblin kind of insanity. His co-star Julia Harris said of him, "You see, he was mercurial, unpredictable, always putting you on, which I didn't mind because he was very beguiling. He did manipulate people, and he knew he was doing it."
All right. Well, if that's it here, I think I'm going to sign off, and we'll talk to you then on Friday. I don't know what time Friday yet. It'll probably be, you know, after 12, but we'll see about that. But just some things to think about here. Pray for us. Pray for our ministry as we go into October. We'll have a busy month this month. We will have lots of things to preach and lots of opportunities to preach out there, lots of activities out there. So you pray for us that the Lord would bless us and keep us, and pray for the Lord to meet all of our needs and continue to take care of us as we print all the tracts and as we do the work of the ministry and all the challenges that we have for everybody out there. And just keep praying. And we'll pray for you as well. And hopefully, Lord willing, we'll be back here on Friday afternoon sometime. So Friday, maybe early afternoon, early morning. We'll see what my schedule looks like there. But we hope to be back with you then. And I'm not sure what I'll talk about yet, but we'll definitely figure that out. God bless you all. You have a good night.